Core Development, a Canadian-based developer, is planning on spending $1 billion on single-family homes. Many worry that large buyers such as Core Development will drive up prices in an already hot real estate market. Here to discuss whether those fears are warranted is Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Margaret.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Okay, so is this developer planning on buying homes in BC?
Well, their plan is to buy a bunch of rundown single-family homes across Canada, which will include BC. So what they do is they fix them up, and whenever possible, they convert them into two rental units. So what they might do is they might buy something like a Vancouver special, separate the top from the bottom, and then rent out each floor individually. Currently, their focus is on Eastern Canada because the acquisition cost to rent ratio is a lot more favorable than it is here in the Lower Mainland. But if they're successful, then the plan is for them to expand and head west.
Okay, well, the competition to buy homes is already really steep. How is a large developer with $1 billion going to affect the housing market?
Yeah, $1 billion. Well, I mean, the truth is $1 billion isn't what it used to be. And it does sound like a lot of money, but in terms of real estate sales percentage, it's just a fraction of 1%. So just to give you some context, in 2020, there is over $334 billion worth of homes sold in Canada, which means $1 billion is essentially a rounding error. Also, this developer isn't planning on spending the full $1 billion all at once. Rather, they plan on allocating funds over a five-year time frame. So that sort of averages to about $200 million of real estate purchases per year. And for them and other big institutional players, developers, real estate income trusts, or even pensions, investing $1 billion in our market is kind of their way of testing the waters. However, if it is successful, people will notice it and others will follow. And that's when the competition really ramps up as that investment money floodgate opens, which would then drive up demand, resulting in higher prices, which could negatively affect the average Canadian looking to buy a home.
And why have institutional buyers suddenly decided to start buying Canadian real estate?
It hasn't just been a sudden decision. They've actually been in our market for a long time. They've been buying mostly multifamily apartment buildings or student housing. What's new is this pivot to single-family homes. So I asked the exact same question. I actually called up a couple of Canada's biggest institutional real estate buyers, and I asked them about what they thought about Core Development's plan to buy single-family homes, and also I asked them whether they were considering a similar tactic. And everybody I spoke to said no. They felt that the logistics of buying single-family homes, renovating them, renting them out, it was too much of a gamble at the current prices because homes are very expensive. So ideally, these developers, what they want to do is they want to buy these homes at a big discount. So, for example, back in 2008 during the credit crisis, that's when housing crashed in some areas 70-80%, like in Vegas or Phoenix. And that's when we saw a lot of buyers, institutional buyers, pension funds, developers. They were buying up all that inventory at fire sale prices, renting them out. And for them, the timing was great as rents and housing prices have gone up a lot. But now we're just not there, right? Prices are really high. Rents are capped in many provinces. So this just all adds to the risk of this type of investment.
And I was going to say, I don't know how well this would work in Vancouver, given the cost of the housing. And then when we do see houses bought up, a big tracts of them, sometimes they're not turned into duplexes. They're turned into bigger developments.
Yeah, so this is something that's not what they're planning on doing. Like, that's what other people do. But this one is specifically talking about single-family homes. It has happened quite a bit in the States. We did see a lot of single-family homes being bought up right now. And a lot of it has to do with inflation, just because they rather spend their money on something that will produce income than have it sit in the bank and just lose buying power because of inflation.
So if Core Development follows through with the plan to expand to BC, how do you think it's going to affect our real estate market?
I actually don't think it'll have a big impact unless they really allocate all their budget to BC, which I really doubt for all the reasons we just spoke about, mostly the cost, right? So back in March, Gloria and I actually spoke about the rental market. And at that time, I said that I expected over the next couple of years, I expected to see fewer and fewer mom-and-pop style landlords, as many of them, particularly the new ones, they're cash flow negative, meaning that their rents do not cover all their expenses. And something like that isn't going to change anytime soon and will actually likely get worse. So I believe a lot of these small landlords will be replaced by fewer but much larger landlords, and that's sort of what appears to be happening with this announcement. It could be just a lateral shift where that inventory of older, sort of in need of renovation type revenue properties just move from the mom and pop landlords to a bigger landlord. So that might happen. From a buyer's perspective, the impact on pre-sales or newer turnkey type properties will be negligible. However, home buyers who are handy and good with tools and were hoping to buy a distressed property at a discount, there could be a lot more competition, and potentially those types of buyers will be priced out of the market because of these institutional buyers.
And if the plan is to add more rental units to the market, would this be positive for renters?
There are some positives. Typically, these types of large buyers, like pension funds and big developers, they're not the slumlord type. Rather, their MO is to add value by doing the renos and renting them out to sort of renters who have steady incomes and who can afford to pay higher rent. So for this cohort of people who can afford to pay higher rent, it's actually a positive because this increase in supply is geared towards them. So they're going to have more options and basically more options to choose from. However, it will take away from rental stock from those in the lower rent spectrum who might be displaced due to these renos and might not be able to afford to move back post-reno. So that's what happens. So, you know, someone like an institutional buyer will come into our market. For some, it could be a positive, but it's definitely not going to benefit everyone.
So bottom line, is having larger institutional players entering the real estate market a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think it matters at this point. If we're just talking about its current incarnation of $1 billion over 5 years, it just doesn't matter. It's not enough to move the needle. I think that other variables like interest rate hikes or changes in government policies are much more impactful. So this announcement of this group starting it, dipping their toe in the water, I don't think it's a long-term trend of a whole bunch of other people flocking to our markets. I just think there's better places for them to spend their money in cash-flowing areas such as parts of the United States or Europe. And I don't think because of the high cost, basically what you said, as well, single-family homes, it's just not a great investment from a cash-flowing perspective. So I'm a bit ambivalent right now. It could be good or bad, but I don't think it's going to be a game changer.
Okay, thanks, Mark. And I just want to bring into a conversation Lisa and I have been having this afternoon because we've got one of the managers from Book Warehouse coming in to help us with our summer reading list. And do you have a book that you always recommend? You know, that one book that you say, oh, you want a book to read? This is it.
Yeah, I just finished teaching my course at SFU on personal finance, and I was asked that question. And the book I suggested this year was Freakonomics. It's really interesting. It's a really fun read, and it sort of makes economics interesting and sort of tells us how we get motivated to do what we do, but just in a weird way. And it's a great book, and it just makes you think. And there's a whole bunch of wow moments and WTF moments, and it's good, great for the summer.
Great. Thanks so much, Mark, and have a great evening. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks for the recommendation. And Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance, joins us every week at this time. He's also a partner of Foundation Wealth. And if you would like Mark to answer one of your financial questions to possibly discuss on the air, feel free to email him at markting@gmail.com.